Listen to this 31st one now, because it's a great psalm that we have before us. He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." Now, David knew that God could not lower his standard in saving sinners, and that sin required a penalty. And if the sinner didn't pay it, somebody else would have. And God now has a plan. He can save sinners because somebody else paid the penalty, and that somebody is his son. Now, because of that, David goes on and says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me." We need a strong rock, not just some little pebble. Lord Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." What is that rock? Christ. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is Christ Jesus, our Savior today. Now, he's the strong rock to rest on. The dear little Scotch lady who was talking about her salvation and the assurance of it. And somebody says, "Well, don't you ever frighten?" Oh, she says, "There are times when I tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me." A strong rock. Now, he's not through with the rock, by the way, and this is not rock music we're talking about, although this psalm was set to music. Well, maybe you could call this the first rock music, but it's a little different than the kind we have today. Verse 3, "For thou art my rock." My, is God your rock? Is that where you're resting today? And he says, not only that, "Thou art my rock and my fortress." Now, fortress is for protection. We need that. "Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Not because he's David the king, but because for his name's sake. That's what it means to pray in the name of Christ today. He says, "Pull me out of the net that they've laid secretly for me, for thou art my strength." And then, listen to him, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Remember, that was the word the Lord Jesus gave on the cross. We have here so many wonderful statements, but here is one that we just can't pass by. "And into thine hand I commit my spirit." And the Lord Jesus said that. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Stephen, the first martyr, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." It's quite interesting. Down in the history of the church, many that have been martyrs have always used that expression. For instance, when the sentence of degradation was being executed upon John Huss, and the bishop there pronounced upon him these horrible words, he says, "And now we commit thy soul to the devil." And John Huss, in great calmness, he stood there and replied, "I commit my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Under thee I commend my spirit, whom thou hast redeemed." And Polycarp, when he was being burned at the stake there in Smyrna, these are his words too. Bernard used them. Jerome of Prague used it. And Luther and Melanchthon and many others. In fact, Martin Luther said this, "Blessed are they who die not only for the Lord as martyrs, not only in the Lord as believers, but likewise with the Lord as breathing forth their lives in the words, 'Into thy hand I commit my spirit.'" How wonderful that is.